Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network Command Team.
Hello and happy holidays, listeners. I am Molly Ritterbeck, Army Wife Network Engagement Ambassador, and I'm hosting with Maren Chaney, our Special Projects Coordinator. We are looking forward to sharing some empowering resources with you today. This is show number 786 of the leading and longest running podcast of its kind, Army Wife Talk Radio.
Thanks, Molly, and hello, everyone. We have some great stuff in store for you in this episode. First up, we'll be sharing some of our weekly resources to help you excel in your male spouse life. Then in just a bit, we'll hear from Army Wife Network owner and commander, Sharita Knobloch, as she chats with Robert Thomas, Chief Operations Officer of Operation Homefront, as he shares about the organization's pandemic response as well as their holiday services.
Thank you for that glimpse in today's show's content, Maren. Now, before we hear from Mr. Thomas of Operation Homefront, let's chat about what we have going on in our mill spouse life. It's been a little while since we co-hosted Army Wife Talk Radio together. So anything, any big plans for the upcoming holidays? What's new?
Yeah, I know. It has been a while. So I'm glad that we're back at it doing another episode together. I feel like everything all of a sudden, like, I feel like 2020 has kind of been this slow roller coaster. And as typical fashion, I feel like all of a sudden the holidays are here. And while they look different this year, like, it's still just as chaotic as any other year. But my husband got home from NTC around Thanksgiving, which was great. So surprisingly, normally he's like a stickler for having, you know, Thanksgiving as its own holiday and a little bit of time. And then like December 1st, I'm like, quote unquote, allowed to start my Christmas music playing and all of that stuff. But thankfully he came home from NTC this year and was in like full holiday mode. So nice. We decorated, we got our tree, we booked our flights home. Hopefully that stays in place. And yeah, we've just been doing some online shopping, getting ready for the season. I like keep thinking it's just so crazy that it's already here.
It is. It's kind of
nuts. How about you guys? Do you have any big plans?
No, not really. I still have to work through every last bit of the holiday in the year. My husband will be done with students in the next week or so. And then he'll get to spend some good quality time with the kids while I'm still at work. And they'll do all the decorating and shopping. And it's actually going to be a little bit of some, you know, added helping elf hands for me, you could say.
Definitely. The more the merrier.
Absolutely.
It's so fun when we get to connect with one another, Molly. Now it's time to check in with this week's Resource Recon, brought to you from our ever-empowering band of bloggers. This week's blog is a throwback from our archives titled Celebrating the Holidays When Far From Home, which was written by our very own Sarah Peachy last year. I think that it's completely relevant not only every year, but this one in particular. Here's what she writes. Our tables were made up of families, couples who didn't want to travel home after arriving only 6 months prior, single soldiers who had the choice of our house or the DFAC, family pets who couldn't be left home alone for too long, and friends and neighbors who simply didn't want to cook for just themselves. Every year, for 3 years, someone offered my family a place or we offered others a warm home to come together as a community to eat, laugh, talk, and celebrate. This year, we may not be able to have large gatherings, but what a great time to really be thankful for the opportunities that you have had to celebrate in the past. Maybe include one of the traditions you learned about previously from guests or even from places you were stationed.
Yeah, this year is definitely going to look different. You know, not just the fact that we can't even gather with those that are around us so much, but just it's really going to be about what we do with our families and, you know, the people around us.
Definitely. I think this season is about like intentionality, even, you know, people who, even friends, you know, obviously most people want to spend, you know, the holidays with their family, but even just like social distancing and quarantining, you know, it's, you really have to be intentional about still making the holidays or those relationships like strong, which I think kind of adds like an extra sweetness to it, because being that intentional, like it's better for the holidays as opposed to like going through the routine of it.
Yeah. I like that word, the intentionality of it. I like that.
Well, thank you.
Well, thanks again to our content editor, Sarah Peachy, for this encouraging blog. To check out more empowering content, go to armywifenetwork.com and click on the blog tab. I am thankful for how something that we consider as normal around the holidays, such as celebrating far from family, has kind of prepped us for this year. And beyond our blog, we also have empowering things taking place in real life with our Empowerment Patrol report. After that, we will check in with Army Wife Network News 6 correspondent Jolene McNutt as she shares this week's top stories.
Hello, Army Wife Talk radio listeners. I'm Amanda Bicknies, bringing you this week's Empowerment Patrol report. Today, we are showcasing Army Wife Network's Everyday Empowerment recipient, Catherine Wee. The person who nominated Catherine was her very own husband, Chris. He states, "I am currently reclassing into another MOS. During this past year, we have PCS'd 3 times. PCSing once every 2 to 3 years is stressful enough, but to PCS 3 times in 1 year is ridiculously stressful. Despite the loneliness and stress of being thousands of miles away from home, my wife is the best supporter. Even though she does not have a large community of support here yet, she wakes up to support me even when she is tired, lonely, and stressed. She is both a soldier and nurse who does drill every single month and recently worked at a VA hospital taking care of elderly veterans who have fought in wars like Vietnam, Korea, Desert Storm, and more. While working there, she was not only serving as a healthcare worker, but also as someone who listens and encourages others. She might not think so, but she is a hero. Catherine is not just a military spouse, nurse, or wife, but she is a pioneer, an adventurer, and a leader. Even through the tough times, she still empowers me to conquer the day and motivates me to be a better version of myself. She has empowered me to be who I am today and who we are as a couple." Wow, it's very sweet to hear. Thank you so much, Catherine Wee, for doing your part to empower families around the globe. Until next time, I'm Amanda Bicknies, reminding you that we are never completely alone on this military life journey.
No news is typically good news in this military life.
Except on Army Wife Talk Radio.
So here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Hello, Molly and Marin. Here's this week's top stories. TRICARE open season will close on December 14th. Those wishing to enroll or make changes to their health care coverage can do so by visiting tricare.mil. If you do not have changes, no action is necessary. Most military retirees will be receiving a 1.3% cost of living increase as part of the Department of Defense's annual adjustments. The increase will begin on December 31st, 2020. However, military retirees who retired during the 2020 calendar year and those on the Redux retirement system may see a slightly different annual cost of living adjustment. Visit defense.gov for the full details. A new Navy ship, the USS Jack H. Lucas Flight 3 Arleigh Burke-class destroyer, is expected to be commissioned in 2023. The ship was named after Medal of Honor recipient Jacqueline Jack Lucas, who served as a Marine in World War II. Lucas was just 14 years old when he enlisted in the Marine Corps Reserves after forging his mother's signature on the parental consent form, which stated that he was 17 years old. He bribed a notary to sign the form. Lucas had just completed 8th grade and was sent to boot camp at Parris Island, South Carolina. He qualified to be a heavy machine gun crewman, and his rebellious streak continued. After getting an assignment to stay at a base to relieve older cadres who were being sent to combat, he wasn't pleased and wanted in on the action. Lucas stowed away on a ship that was on its way to take part in the invasion of Iwo Jima. Meanwhile, Lucas was declared AWOL and demoted to private. He surrendered himself to the ship's commanding officer, who then assigned Lucas to C Company, 1st Battalion, 26th Marines. While on the ship, Lucas turned 17 and 6 days later landed on Iwo Jima. During the battle, Lucas's rifle jammed, and as he looked down to clear the gun, he saw two grenades at his feet. Lucas dropped onto one of the grenades and pulled the second one underneath him, said TheDrive.com. Only one of the grenades exploded, wounding Lucas severely in his right arm, wrist, leg, thigh, and chest. His comrades thought he was dead and moved on in the fierce battle. Another Marine unit spotted him and were able to get him first aid. After returning to the United States, Lucas was cleared of his AWOL charges and his rank, Private First Class, was reinstated. He endured 21 surgeries and was later presented with the Medal of Honor on October 5, 1945, by President Harry Truman. Read more of Lucas's heroic story at TheDrive.com. And this week in history, on December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, Pearl Harbor was attacked by the Japanese. This act killed over 2,300 Americans, destroyed the USS Arizona, and capsized the USS Oklahoma. 21 ships in total were sunk, beached, or damaged by the attack. An additional 160 aircraft were destroyed, and 150 aircraft were damaged. The attack propelled the United States into World War II. Congress declared war on Japan the following day. Learn more at the Library of Congress at loc.gov. Find the link to all of our News 6 reports at armywifenetwork.com. This is your Army Wife Network News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
It's true, listeners, no news is good news, except for when it's coming from our Army Wife Network News 6 correspondent. Thanks to Jolene for always keeping us in the need-to-know news loop with great stories. Listeners, let's take a quick commercial break, then stay tuned for Sherita's interview with Robert Thomas from Operation Homefront.
Need more information to engage, educate, encourage, and empower you in your military life journey? At ArmyWifeNetwork.com, you can find more than 2,000 blog posts about deployment, PCS, Army life, health, and more. You can also check out our most popular resource, Post with the Most. Aaron from Fort Riley says, I use AWN on a weekly basis to get the support my family and I need to thrive in this military life. Tap into all of our empowering resources at www.ArmyWifeNetwork.com.
Hoo-ah and hello, AWTR listeners. Welcome to yet another empowering installment of Army Wife Talk Radio's interview segment. I'm Sherita Knobloch, your Army Wife Network owner and commander. Today, we have the privilege to chat with retired Brigadier General Robert Thomas, who is the Chief Operating Officer at Operation Homefront. Robert joined the Operation Homefront executive team in August 2015, following a nearly 31-year career of distinguished service in the Air Force. Robert joined the Operation Homefront executive team in August 2015, following a nearly 31-year career of distinguished service in the Air Force. In his final command assignment, he led the Gene M. Holm Center for Office Accessions and Citizen Development, where he was responsible for directing the education and training programs that produced more than 81% of the officer cadre of the Air Force. In addition to being an experienced combat pilot, Robert held staff assignments at Headquarters Air Mobility Command, Joint Special Operations Command, the United Nations, and the Air Staff. He has flown combat and combat support missions or deployed with ground-based special operations units in Panama and Somalia, as well as Operation Desert Storm, Iraqi Freedom, and Enduring Freedom. Robert holds a Bachelor of Science degree from the U.S. Air Force Academy and master's degrees from the University of Southern California and the National Defense University. Your career has been exceptionally impressive, Robert, and we are so thankful that you're sharing more of your insight with us today. Welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be here. I hope none of the listeners fell asleep while you're reading that bio.
No, I'm sure they're on the edge of their seats and really excited to learn more, because you really have such incredible expertise to bring to the table, and we're excited to learn more about how you're now applying that expertise in your current role as Operation Homefront COO. One thing that we do know, Operation Homefront, of course, has always been very supportive, focused on military families, spouses, children, and service members. So let's talk a little bit about what they really do. For the listeners that might be unfamiliar with the organization, tell us, Robert, what is Operation Homefront?
Well, Operation Homefront is a nonprofit, and our mission is to help build strong, stable, and secure military families so they thrive, not just struggle to get by, but thrive in those communities they've worked so hard to protect. What makes us a little different than a lot of military serving organizations is we focus on the military family. The family is the focus of our programming. And of course, the service member in the family is a key part of the family. But all of our programs are focused on the family. And in this COVID-19 year, very few people are thriving. So at least in the short to intermediate term, we're going to help as many military families as we can get by. And perhaps late next year or in 2022, when the virus is behind us, we'll start to refocus again on helping military families thrive. But right now, we're going to help as many people as we can get by, and we'll all get through this virus together.
I really appreciate your realistic approach to that, because I think sometimes military families, especially from a spouse perspective, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to thrive no matter what. And sometimes, of course, it's still possible, but depending on our circumstance, what you guys are kind of focusing on, look, let's just get through this. Let's just dig in our heels, keep calm, soldier on. And I so appreciate how you all are supporting military families through these unprecedented experiences with COVID-19. Thinking about that, how has Operation Homefront been impacted, specifically as a nonprofit, throughout 2020?
Well, like everyone else, COVID-19 has changed the world for us. A lot of the donors that were with us in 2019 have had to drop off. And it wasn't by choice. If you partner with us to provide a military a family meal to a military family on the holidays, but your restaurant's closed, we just can't do it this year.
Right.
And so a lot of our donors have had to change their engagement with us in the short term. We've had to change our programs, and we really focused on three fundamental tenets as we go forward. First, our military families need our programs. So we've got to find a way to deliver the programs, even in a worst case COVID-19 environment. We've got to comply with the law. So that's federal law, state law, municipal law, whatever the installations policy is. We've got to be nimble enough to adjust, even on short notice. And I know right now, New York, Illinois, and California are thinking about changing some of their COVID guidance, and Washington State. So we've got to find a way to deliver programs and comply with the law. Not complying is simply not an option. And we got to keep everyone safe. And so that's our Operation Homefront employees, our volunteers, and those we serve. So our plans this year, and I think we'll talk a little bit more about those in a minute, are all, we're able to execute those this year, even in a tough COVID-19 environment.
That makes a lot of sense. And I'm looking forward to learning more about how you guys have kind of buzzword pivoted this year, because it's been a year of pivoting. And speaking of that, how have you seen military families impacted by the pandemic?
Well, it's hit military families hard, just like everyone else. For the military families, especially the junior enlisted grades, a lot of those families are dual income families, even if the second income is a part-time position. And as you know, and as I know as a military kid and being in the military, it's hard to get that super high paying job when you're bouncing from base to base every 2 to 4 years.
Right.
And so a lot of those jobs, a lot of the spouse jobs tend to be in the service industry, or perhaps working in the CDC, those kind of positions, and a lot of those jobs went away. And so our military families had made commitments and plans around that income, whether it might be buying a new car, and you got a car payment, or buying a home. The loss of that income really hurt families. in addition to a lot of the turbulence associated with the virus, a lot of PCSs were put on hold. Mm-hmm. And one family that came to us, they were doing everything right. They were renting a home at their current post. They gave notice to their landlord. They took their permissive TDY, went forward, found a great home, put money down and signed a contract for that home. And then on very short notice, there was a PCS freeze. And now they had to leave the home at their current post because the landlord had already rented it to another family. And then they had a commitment on the other end that they couldn't step up to. So really tough. In addition to a lot of trainings were frozen, retrainings. So really a difficult time for families, even if there were no layoffs in the military, but it was tough for all of us just the same.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot with some of my peers and even those folks who aren't junior enlisted anymore, or maybe even officers or those non-commissioned officers, the senior non-commissioned officers. It's just been a challenging year for all of us, especially with you think about schools closing. That was never part of the no plan plan for any of us. And, automatically becoming homeschool-ish parents or virtually trying to navigate that, even if you were an entrepreneur or had your own things you did at the house, that's, that's been a really challenging experience too. So I think that will resonate with a lot of our listeners. Thankfully, those folks that have been navigating that difficulty, trying to survive and thrive through it, I know Operation Homefront has kind of stepped up to the plate to provide some assistance and support. So what has your pandemic response been as you've helped out those military families impacted by COVID-19?
Well, first of all, we found a way to deliver the programs that we planned to deliver in 2021. And that was a pretty heavy lift for us. So in most cases, like for our back-to-school program, we delivered 35,000 backpacks. But what that meant is we had to change our plans. And instead of a community gathering and celebration, we made them drive-through events, keep everyone safe. And so you pull up, we hand the backpacks through the window, or we put them in your trunk. We've got similar plans for our holiday meals program this year. We're still planning on delivering about 30,000 meals. A lot of those will be drive-through meals. We're going to deliver a little over 13,000 meals. A lot of those will be drive-through. A lot of the events will be gift card only this year. So instead of providing a basket of dry goods and a $25 gift card so you can buy the turkey or ham, a protein of your choice, we're going to give families a $55 gift card and let the families do their own shopping. We just had to change the format. Our front celebrations, which celebrates military spouses, sponsored by Southern New Hampshire University, those went virtual. And our baby shower program, we did 10 baby showers this year. We still gave the baby bundle of new mom a new mom basket to our expecting moms and our new moms, but that was all drive through. And of course, our Operation Homefront volunteers and staff have these encouraging signs for everyone as they come through the drive through. So that was our normal programs. But importantly, we also stepped up a new program. It was 100% based on COVID-19 financial assistance. So our normal critical financial assistance program, which you can apply for on our website, operationhomefront.org, we take all the requests for assistance in a single month and we batch those together. And then our social workers and caseworkers sit around the table and they rank order the need from most compelling need to least compelling. And we fund the assistance from the top down until we're out of money for the month. But in the COVID-19 period, we found families needed money faster. And so we've stood up a separate program where the case is essentially the award decisions made as soon as the application is dropped. Really proud to say, as of yesterday, we've approved 1,213 requests for assistance and spent $780,000.
Wow.
That was not in our budget. So that's pretty tough. But luckily, we got some great partners out there that stepped up. WWP stepped up, the Bob and Dolores Hope Foundation, Home Depot. A lot of our partners, they get it. And they saw the need. And they gave us some additional dollars so we could be there for families that need a little help.
Oh, that's so incredible. I'm actually also, as we chat, I'm looking around on your website and looking at the critical financial assistance frequently asked questions and eligibility criteria and looking at those partners that have helped kind of fill that financial gap this year and really, oh, just gives me all the feels in a really wonderful way, which I think a lot of us need to hear those stories this year, especially.
Really focused on those soldiers and airmen, sailors, Marines that have recently discharged, like within 7 years. So as tough as it is for those in the military, you know, you still got your paycheck.
Right.
You still got your base housing. You still have TRICARE. But imagine you just got out. You separated. Mm-hmm. You didn't retire. You got no paycheck. And you were looking for that civilian job. Those families are the ones that are on the verge of being devastated by this. So a lot of our programs are focused on helping that group because they're very vulnerable.
Absolutely. I can't even imagine. My husband's still active duty. And while 2020 has been difficult, you know, we have both multiple times kind of reflected with each other, like we're grateful for the military because we do have some level of consistency when it comes to income, healthcare, housing. But that is, Robert, that's so true. I guess I didn't really think a lot about those ETSing whose dates just fell this year. And, you know, they didn't think they needed a backup plan because nobody predicted the intensity of what COVID-19 would be. I know that a lot of us are continuing to hope that this ends soon because it has lasted a lot longer probably than any of us ever predicted at the beginning. From your perspective as COO at Operation Homefront, how much longer do you anticipate requests for COVID-specific relief to continue to come in with your organization?
Well, that's a great question. And I don't think anyone has the answer. I can tell you that we are postured to provide COVID-based assistance as long as there's a need for that assistance. So certainly through the end of this year, certainly through the first half of 2021, but if we need the program to go longer than that, we'll leave it in place.
I'm really thankful for you all's flexibility and your willingness to just stay the course, to continue to be like, nobody knows when this is going to be over, but until it is, Operation Homefront is going to be there to provide a little bit of extra support, some cushion, and some encouragement. Robert, I've appreciated our conversation so much so far and can't wait to hear a little bit more after this quick commercial break. Listeners, as we go to commercial, we will pick things up in just a few moments to talk more about Operation Homefront and the future plans that they have this year and in the coming years. If you would like to connect with Operation Homefront, you can find them on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn under the handle @ Operation Homefront. So that's all one word spelled just like it sound, or on Twitter @ @OP_Homefront. Or you can also check out their website if any of these resources kind of sound applicable to you and you fall into any of those categories. You might need a little extra financial or holiday support. Go to operationhomefront.org to learn more. Stay tuned for the rest of this interview after this quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Engage, educate, encourage, empower, advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotion, giveaways, and podcast audio commercials. Email empower @ armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Welcome back, AWTR listeners. We are here chatting with Chief Operating Officer of Operation Homefront, retired Brigadier General Robert Thomas. Let's jump back in the conversation. Robert, what has Operation Homefront done to continue the rest of their programs that are normally delivered each year? You kind of mentioned the back-to-school brigade, the holiday meals. How are you guys continuing to pivot? Are you adding anything, or what does that look like for you all right now?
Well, we're focused on delivering the programs that we plan to deliver. Like I said, that's a pretty heavy lift for us, but we are pretty excited. We are going to add one program next month, which I'm really excited about. It's called Transitional Housing Apartments, And this program is going to be focused on single and service members with family. So I'm excited because this program actually will serve single service members.
Wow.
And what we're doing is we're partnering with the Gallman Group, which is a real estate group out of Delaware, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area. Mm-hmm. And we've got individual apartments at two apartment complexes in Delaware where we're going to run the beta test. And it'll be targeting those who have discharged within the last 4 years. And we're just going to simply gift them the rent and utilities for a year.
Wow.
It's just a way to take some of the financial burden off their shoulders. You know, for all of us, or most of us, our number one bill every month is our rent or our mortgage. Mm-hmm. And even for those of you in privatized base housing, look at your LES statement. You'll see your BAH comes into your bank account and goes back out again to the privatized housing folks. So take that burden away. Let the service member focus on getting that great job or completing a degree or some kind of technical training. We'll offer job counseling through Hire Heroes USA, employment mm-hmm. counseling. We'll offer some financial counseling to help them reduce debt, increase savings, and meet the goals, whatever their goals are. But we're really excited about this program. I think it will really help some recently discharged service members kind of get their feet on the ground and go out there and conquer the world. So excited about that. We are about to open the application page up on our website next week. And we're hoping to have two families or single service members in those units by the end of December.
That's excellent. I'm so excited. And that was called the Transitional Housing Apartments Program?
Transitional Housing Apartments Program. It's a new program.
Okay.
So I don't even think it's on our website just yet. We just approved the one pager. So I think mm-hmm. that's the final kind of coordination thing. We got a big meeting coming up Thursday to go final with that and get it up on the website.
That's super exciting. And I just think how the military has kind of evolved and changed in the last few years. You know, you think about even just the name of how it used to be FRG, Family Readiness Group, and now it's SFRG, Soldier and Family Readiness Group, because I do think those single soldier families, like that is their own family unit, really warrant some additional attention. And it's so neat how you guys are bridging that gap for them to make that transition in a year of rent and utilities to just, like you said, get their feet under them, go and conquer, change the world is going to make such a difference in a lot of military service members, veterans' lives. So, that's so exciting.
Yeah, we're hopeful that the first two units turn out well, which I'm very confident they will. We'll mm-hmm. be able to scale this program up. So, I'm excited about what the future may hold for this program and growing the program.
Well, in addition to the new programs that you're adding with the Transitional Housing Apartments program coming soon, I know that one thing that you all at Operation Homefront are well known for is the Military Child of the Year awards that you always do. And normally that gala is held in Washington, D.C., usually in May. I know that we've done a few AWTR shows highlighting that off, you know, getting people to nominate their military children voting. So I would love to know how were you guys able to carry out that tradition of Military Child of the Year and honor those kids as the country started to navigate COVID-19?
Well, that program is a must do. I mean, those mm-hmm. those kids, I mean, I was in the Air Force for a long time. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you the resume of the children who win in their service category, it's better than mine and their teenagers.
yeah.
I'm confident one of those kids is going to be the president one day. So last year, the COVID pandemic was just kicking off. No one knew what was going to happen. And finally, because of restrictions in Northern Virginia, we could not host the event.
Mm-hmm.
It really just wasn't safe to do so. So it turned into a virtual event. We did recognize the children, but just not in the big gala in Washington, D.C. I'm very proud to say that General Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff sent each of the kids a really nice personalized letter, and all the service chiefs did the same. So Chief of Staff of the Army, the Air Force, Comdown, the Marine Corps, and the Coast Guard, and the Chief of Naval Operations, they all sent letters to the kids telling them how great they were and congratulating them. So we found a way. And this year, we've got a decision point coming up here in a few months. We may have to do something similar this year, mm-hmm. but the program is going to continue because it's such a wonderful program. Now, the applications are, the application window is open. You can apply right on the Operation Homefront website, operationhomefront.org. And you know, not every kid's a winner. One kid in each service is a winner, and that kid's spectacular. But we have tiers. We have finalists and semifinalists. And so even if you think your child, hey, you know, they're great, but they're not, they're probably not going to win. Hey, but on that college resume, wouldn't it be great to say semifinalist? And so I would encourage everyone to apply. And if nothing else, it helps you and your child get all your accomplishments together on one piece of paper, which you're going to need for a college applications or job applications in the future. So I think it's a wonderful program. This year, we'll have our first U.S. Space Force Military Child of the Year. We only have one nominee so far. So please, all you Space Force parents out there, if you know someone in the Space Force, get them to nominate their child for that program.
That is super. That is also super exciting. I'm just thinking about I'm really thinking about all of our military children. And I know that we've talked frequently about it on Army Wife Talk Radio and with my AWN team, and our kids are just incredible. Like, they are more resilient than us. They are so self-sacrificial, and they are all, of course, worthy of recognition. And those top branch winners, I'm the same way, Robert. Like, I read their resume and I'm like, holy cow, they've done more in 16 years of life, given back more, you know, 12 years, 18 years, whatever, than I probably will in my entire life. And it is very, very inspiring. So I'm very thankful that you guys are continuing to do that program, even with those necessary modifications. So let's shift.
And the one thing I'd add on that is we do finally pick the military child of the year. You know, but that child really represents all the military kids. So it's a way to bring the spotlight on military families and military kids while we're recognizing the accomplishments of a star player on the team. But it's really for all the kids.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of programs out there that have kind of that same flavor, that same mission, and you guys focus on the military child, which again, I think is an integral part of our military fighting force, mission readiness, and the resilience that's cultivated within our ranks on the home front and also overseas or during training. Let's shift gears just a touch. Just speaking in general, why do you believe, Robert, that it's important for people to support military families?
Well, first of all, you got to remember, as you know, the military families give a lot every day, and they've been there for our nation in its time of need, and we need to be them in their time of need. And it's like you talked about, it's a readiness issue. You know, having been in commander six times, I can tell you that if a soldier airman is worried about their family back home, they cannot focus on their mission. So the service chiefs and the chairman, they spend a lot of time on family issues because it is a combat readiness issue. And what are you talking about? Well, a fair paycheck, good housing, good medical care, good schools, and the families feeling safe and secure. If you get all that knocked out, the soldier, the airman can focus on the mission and do a great job. But imagine if you're downrange and you know that your family's in distress back home. I mean, how can you focus on what you're doing? So supporting military families is an imperative. It's critical for combat readiness, and it's absolutely the right thing to do for a population that's given so much.
I totally agree with that. And clearly you all are doing that with Operation Homefront. So we know that the future is very unpredictable right now, but what's next for Operation Homefront moving forward?
Well, 2021 is, you know, like we talked about earlier, no one really knows exactly how things are going to go with the virus. I think there's a lot of discussion today about vaccines, you know, but for every guest on the new show that says things are going to be great in just a few months, you know, another guest comes on and says, oh, things are going to be terrible. So, you know, what we're going to do is we're going full speed ahead in 2021. We've got a great plan. We're hoping by the end of the year, we'll get back some of our partners that had to drop out in 2020, not for their own choice, but just because their business was in a tough spot. But, you know, in order to get by, we secured some new partners. So what I'm hoping we'll see is we'll keep all of our new partners because they really love what we're doing, and they're with us in supporting military families, and we'll get back some of the partners that we lost in 2020, and we'll have a stronger organization going forward. Just before this call, like 45 minutes before start time, I got an email that Pillsbury is going to partner with us again in 2021. Last year, they funded a house for our Transitional Homes for Community Reintegration Program, and they're going to fund another house this year. And in that program, we give a house, and all the homes in the program right now are new. Essentially, the homes are in cities where a lot of military families want to either retire in or reside long-term. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like base housing. You move into the house for 2 to 3 years, and you're able to put down roots, get that great job, start that course of study or technical training. Your kids start school, make friends. And at the end of that time, since you're already in the city where you want to stay long term, you don't have to rip up all those roots and start over somewhere else. So similar to the apartments program, you stay rent free for 2 to 3 years. You get ready to go. You put down deep roots in the community where you want to stay. And when you graduate, you're already where you want to be. And so we set you up for success. And hopefully you've been able to save some money during that time and buy that house. If buying a home is what you want to do, you will absolutely be in a position to do that.
You all are such like long-term visionary thinkers. You really think about a lot of the stuff that probably a lot of military families maybe don't consider or aren't really sure how to navigate future things moving forward. And you all are really just filling that void and providing military families with those tools. And it's so empowering.
A lot of families are focused. I mean, they're busy. They're busy. And I'll use myself as an example. You know, I joined the Air Force when I was 18 and just turned 18, 3 weeks. And I get out on the other end. I'm 53. I've never had a civilian job. Mm-hmm. I worked till the last day, and I just was kind of pretending that this day would never come because I really loved being in the military. And finally, they said, "Hey, Bob, you're kind of timing out. You've been here for a long time. You need to kind of move on." And boom, I was out, and I did not have a plan. So, you know, we take some of those experiences and we try to build that into our programs to help the families transition to that great civilian job and a great community and a bright future.
Well, you mentioned your partners and hooray for Pillsbury coming back on board and providing that house in 2021. What if our listeners would like to get involved and maybe offer some support to Operation Homefront? How can they do that to help you all's mission to build strong, stable, and secure military families?
Well, that's a great question. We've worked really hard on our website to make it a one-stop shopping website. So that's operationhomefront.org. And you can go to the website. You can learn more about Operation Homefront. You can see our entire portfolio of programs. We got lots of pictures on there so you can visualize what's going on. On the site, you can donate. If you're in a position to donate financially, you can do that. You can sign up to be a volunteer. And in a normal non-COVID-19 world, we have lots and lots of volunteer opportunities. This year, we tried to skinny the volunteer force down for events to the minimum possible to reduce risk. But normally, we have a lot of volunteers at events. If mom or dad is volunteering, the child is welcome to come out. And a lot of kids, you know, you need those volunteer hours for your college resume or or to show your civic involvement. So we want to provide those opportunities. And importantly, the most people come to our website to sign up for our program. So any of the programs we're talking about, the housing program, the critical financial assistance programs, the recurring programs like backpacks and meals and baby showers, all of that information is on the website. And you can learn about, you know, the details and sign up.
Well, I hope that our listeners really take heed of that information, whether they qualify for a program or want to get involved like that, or maybe they're in a season where they could donate financially, or when COVID restrictions lift, being able to get involved tangibly and volunteer. Thank you for sharing that, because you guys bring so much great resources to our military families. And those resources are very empowering, which of course is one of our main pillars here at Army Wife Network. So this is one of my favorite parts of the show, is when we ask our guests what empowerment means to them. Robert, could you complete the sentence? Empowerment is...
Well, I think empowerment is taking control of your future. And what I would tell you is, my son's a senior in high school now, and we're starting talking about what's next for him. And of course, I'm trying to encourage him to go in the Air Force, but I don't know if that's the right fit for him. Mm. And I said, well, there's the Space Force. But, you know, when talking about options, we said, well, what do you want to do in life? And what does it take to be successful? And what I've learned over the years is it doesn't mean you have to be the smartest person in the room at all. In fact, the people that I work with in the Air Force that have gone the furthest were absolutely not the smartest test taker or had these super high GPAs. But the common thing they all did is they worked really hard every day. So what I would say is you set a goal and you work hard at it. Don't give up. There's going to be some tough days in there, but set the goal, you know, visualize the future that you want for you and your family, and then start working on it every day and don't give up and, just work hard at it. And you absolutely will be successful without question.
Very salient wisdom and advice, Robert. It's like the bow on this Operation Homefront holiday Christmas gift that you are to so many military families. So thank you so much for sharing your passion, your experience, the mission of Operation Homefront to build stable, strong, and secure military families. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We sure appreciate it.
It was wonderful spending some time with all of you, and I hope to see you all on the website and at one of our programs, either this year during a holiday meal or in 2021.
Sounds like a wonderful invitation that I hope many of our listeners will accept with joy. Again, Robert, we wish you guys at Operation Homefront all the best and a very joyful, prosperous holiday season. Now, back to our hosts in the studio.
Thanks to Robert Thomas for sharing such an empowering update on resources from Operation Homefront with us this week. Again, if you would like to connect with Operation Homefront to use their pandemic response or holiday services, check them out online via their website, operationhomefront.org, and on Facebook and Instagram with their handle at Operation Homefront. Now, one of the coolest things I thought that he talked about in that interview was how, you know, overall Operation Homefront is a family focus organization. Mm-hmm. They help families thrive, not just survive, but they realized in the pandemic that it was more about just getting by during this time frame, and how they really, really tried to pivot to make it relevant, but still consistent with their schedule of programs.
Yeah, that stood out to me too. And it was so cool that I think it says a lot about the organization that, you know, while most places or organizations, you know, have the mission or have, you know, their set schedule for the year, that they were able to adjust to what 2020 threw us and still be able to serve at their typical community that way too.
Yeah, and, I agree with that.
Yeah. And I thought it was cool too that he was saying how a lot of sponsors that they typically have who just because of their COVID situation weren't able to either donate or contribute in the way that they had hoped. And, you know, Operation Homefront was still able to move forward in helping military families, which, again, I think it just says a lot about them. I hadn't heard about their nonprofit until this interview. So I always love when we get to do interviews that I also get to learn from too. But I just think it was a really awesome nonprofit.
Yeah, I know two of the most popular programs I had heard about were the Backpack Brigade and some of the baby showers. And the fact that they were still able to do them just a little bit differently just shows the strength of the organization itself.
Definitely.
As they say in the military, we are nearing the endex or end of exercise point in the programming. As you RTB or return to base, we invite you to join us every Thursday at noon Eastern for our weekly Facebook Live Mill Spouse Empowerment Moments. The video will also be uploaded on our YouTube channel and the audio converted into a podcast if you need to catch it later. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss our next full-length episode when Sherita, our owner and commander, interviews country music star and Army veteran Jenny Lee Miller for our holiday special. We've got a lot of special holiday gifts lined up for you on our final podcast episode for 2020, so don't miss it.
If you or someone you know has a product or service to share with our listeners and would like to join us on our mission to empower military families, let's chat. Please email empower@armywifenetwork.com.
And finally, if you want to connect with Army Wife Network beyond the podcast, subscribe to our semi-monthly newsletter, the SITREP, that's Situation Report for anyone new to our Mill Spouse neighborhood. We showcase our top blog posts, upcoming AWTR information, exclusive printables and giveaways, sponsor information, and more. Go to armywifenetwork.com and enter your email in the right sidebar under the SITREP. There's a big giveaway going on for SITREP subscribers right now, so don't wait.
Listeners, it's a true honor to be part of your Mill Spouse squad. We are here to cover down for you no matter what military life may throw your way. We thank you for your continued support and interaction. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your Army Wife Network Command Team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to www.armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our empowering resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.